Those seven Old Testament readings are so long. Take a deep breath, everybody, right? We're moving along, and the Lord is in our midst. He is risen. There's this beautiful tradition in the church that when on Easter, during Easter, when someone says he is risen, the response is, he is risen indeed. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Beautiful. But that long story, that long Old Testament readings, that's just a fraction of the story of salvation history. It's just a fraction of the preparation that God made for the coming of Jesus. And he had you. And tonight, in mind, every step of the way. In the beginning, the Spirit of God hovers over the waters of chaos. And the Word of God is spoken, and there's creation. Here shortly, the Spirit of God will hover over the waters of the font. And I'll speak the words of Christ, the eternal Word of God. And there will be a new creation rising up from the waters. The waters of baptism. Notice that humanity is created on the sixth day, the same as the animals. But unlike the animals, we're created for the seventh day, for worship, for communion with God. It's when we fail to worship, when we fail in communion with God, that we fall back to acting like the animals. When Abraham is called to sacrifice his son, a detail that we often overlook is that at the time, Isaac was a grown man, capable of carrying a heavy load of wood on his back. And so when Abraham binds up Isaac for the sacrifice, Isaac could have resisted easily. He was a willing victim, willing to fulfill the Lord's will. And that makes him even more an image of Christ. Not only the beloved son of his father, carrying the wood of his sacrifice, but also the willing victim. Jesus, in the gospel elsewhere, says, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down, and I take it up again." Isaac shows us the heart of the son, willing to offer himself as a sacrifice for his people. And God responded to both Abraham and Isaac with a covenant oath that was unconditional, never to be broken. When we hold nothing back from God, he holds nothing back from us. That Exodus passage begins with the Lord saying to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" I have this image of Moses pointing to the Egyptian soldiers with murderous intent, bearing down upon the helpless crowd. "Why are you crying out to me? Do you not trust me?" The Israelites are about to be slaughtered. Do you trust me? Our elect and our candidates are about to entrust their lives to the Lord and his church. Do you trust me? All of us face difficulties every day. Do you trust me? There's nothing wrong with crying out to God. But let's cry out with faith, trusting that he loves us and will take care of us always. The soldiers of Pharaoh were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. Just as the evils of the devil will soon be drowned in the waters of baptism. Do you trust me? He says. Do you trust me? Isaiah reveals to us the heart of God is like a husband, head over heels with his bride. And then he says that God is an eternal fountain to satisfy and quench our thirsty hearts and minds. And I absolutely love that reading from Baruch when he describes God interacting with creation, with his creation. Baruch says, the stars stand before him at their posts, shining and rejoicing. And when he calls them, they answer, here we are, shining and rejoicing. Here we are, shining with joy for their Maker. Such is our God. When the Lord calls us, let's respond joyfully and radiantly like the stars. Here we are. And then Ezekiel prophesied that in the end times, God would finally solve our heart problem, our hard hearts. He'd place His Spirit within us to transform our hearts. And that's exactly what Jesus does. The same Spirit who raises Jesus from the dead has filled us to raise our hearts, our souls from the dead too, so that we can now love as Christ loves. That's how Christ, how our God loves. Jesus died and rose from the dead to give us new hearts, so that we can love as Christ loves. Notice that the women in that gospel, when they encounter the risen Jesus, first, Jesus meets them on the way, it says. On the way where? The way of discipleship. As we strive to walk the way of discipleship, He meets us. Then they approach Him, embrace His feet, and do Him homage. When He meets you on the way, run to Him. Humble yourself before Him and worship Him. A night of resurrection. If that doesn't deserve an alleluia, then nothing does, right? Alleluia. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That was good.